This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the fourth week of Advent, and if you haven't noticed, this is the shortest fourth week of Advent that's possible to ever have. For all of you here tonight, the fourth week of Advent will be about 20 hours, because the season of Christmas begins tomorrow at 4 o'clock when we have our vigil mass. For those people coming tomorrow, if you come to the 9:45, the fourth week of Advent's about 5 hours long. So it's, again, the shortest it could possibly be. And the fourth week of Advent is about transition, okay? We've been in Advent where the focus is preparing for the coming of the Lord, preparing our hearts, preparing our minds. And it's a time where the theme is really hope. We're hoping that the Lord will come. And then when we switch to Christmas, the transition is really from hope to joy, because Christmas is a time of celebrating. The Lord has come. And so we switch from this kind of theme of hope and anticipation and a longing for the Lord to a time of great celebration. So I want to talk about that tonight. What is the source? What is the reason that we switch to joy for the Christmas season? And we have, as I mentioned, maybe 20 hours to sort of make this shift. And in the fourth week of Advent, if we have the other extreme, is it could be almost a full week. And the readings that week prepare us to make this switch from coming to joy. The joy of Christmas comes from one place only. You know, growing up, and I'm sure that there's young folks here and people all ages, you associate the joy of Christmas with the fact that you get gifts and you get to give gifts. And you have family, and you have parties, you have food. It is a great time. I'm not trying to minimize any of that. But that's not really the source of our joy for Christmas. The source of our joy for Christmas is that God did what he promised he would do. We heard in the Old Testament reading, King David was trying to build a temple, and the prophet Nathan came to him, and he told him that there will come a time in the future when this temple will be built. But he was also speaking of the future coming of Christ, the Messiah, especially when he says the kingdom that is established will never end. And God promised he would do that. You know, all the way back to the book of Genesis, if you read the first few chapters, we have the creation account, and then we have the account of the fall of humanity. From that moment in Genesis chapter 3, from the time we blew it, we really blew it. We turned away from God and we said, I think I can do this better on my own. That's essentially the sin of Adam and Eve. God promised at that moment he would send someone to destroy and undo all the things that the devil was going to do and had done. And so God did what he promised he would do. Throughout the prophets, throughout the whole Old Testament, God is continually promising he's going to undo all of this evil. And so in the Annunciation account that we read about, which, by the way, we read that four times during Advent, four times, so it should be very familiar to us, we see the true joy of Christmas beginning at that moment. Jesus comes first by being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, then by being born on Christmas Day. And ultimately, the plan of God, which Paul talks about in that second reading, that's a mystery for the ages. Even though the prophets were speaking about it, God's plan is finally fulfilled. The works of the devil are destroyed. In the first letter of John, chapter 3, St. John tells us probably the clearest description of why Jesus came. He says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. See, before Jesus came, all of humanity was subject to slavery, to sin, to the control of the devil. And anyway, any one of us who turns away from Jesus Christ, we enter into that camp of the devil. And we are in slavery to sin, in misery. You know, Jesus and St. Paul give us a series of descriptions, word pictures, of our true condition apart from Christ, whether it's before he came or whether it's because we've turned from him. Jesus says we're sick in need of a physician. We're perishing, in John chapter 3, we're perishing and in need of rescue. We're lost and in need of a shepherd. We're in debt, a debt that we can't possibly pay. You remember the parable that Jesus speaks about that. We're in slavery to sin in need to be freed. We're blind, we're covered with leprosy, we're paralyzed, we're dead in sin, St. Paul says. And we're enemies of God, subject to his wrath, to the sentence of death. This is pretty dark stuff. I'm sorry to have a Saturday evening before Christmas. But you know, unless we understand how bad our condition was, unless we fully grasp how terrible it was without Christ, and how terrible it can be without Christ, we will not experience the true joy of what happens at Christmas, because Jesus came to deliver us from all of that stuff I just said, to redeem us, to rescue us, to free us, to deliver us. Those are the words we hear so often in Scripture. We call Jesus our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who delivers and saves us from all of those things that I mentioned. And this, again, this is the source of our joy of the Christmas season. Let me give you a way of looking at this that maybe bring it a little more to home. If any of you have been through the Rescued series by Father Ricardo, that four-week series, I know some of you, many of you here have probably gone through that. He speaks of this analogy. He says, one way of looking at how this Annunciation and birth of Jesus Christ, he says, it's the Christian version of June 6, 1944. Everybody here knows what happened on June 6, 1944. Not that you had to be alive during that time, but it's a famous day. It's the when the Allies invaded Normandy and set up a beachhead and began the victory in Europe that eventually came a year later. It took a year. But many people, many historians and people that know these things better than me, would say that World War II was essentially over when the Allies successfully landed at Normandy and established a beachhead. It was the beginning of the end of the war, that one event. And so for Christians, when we think of the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel tells Mary she will conceive a son, he will be great, his kingdom will never end. That's again the promise that was given to David. That is the beginning of the end of the war against the devil. It's all over at that point. It's really, truly the beginning of the end. You know, it's very personal to me too when I think of this analogy, because I've mentioned this before. My mother was born in 1934 and she grew up in Italy, in misery, actually. When she talked about her childhood, it was miserable. First, it was under Mussolini, and then when Italy changed and voted Mussolini out, the Germans actually came and occupied Italy. And so Italy became just like France and the other countries that had been occupied. And I often wonder, when I think of my mother and my family, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, what it must have been like to hear the news that first the Allies invade Sicily and begin marching up Italy, and then they invade Normandy. And so the rescue is coming. It must have been news of incredible joy to them. We read about it as history and we think, oh, that's great, they did this. We know the outcome. But if you were living during that time, imagine the joy at hearing that the Allies were coming to rescue, to set you free from this misery that you had been in. And that's essentially what happens when we think about the Annunciation and the birth of Jesus Christ. It is truly the beginning of the end, where God fulfills the plan that he said he was going to fulfill, where he's going to restore all things. We're all going to be freed from evil, from sin, from darkness, from death, from all those things that I mentioned. And all of us have the opportunity, when we turn away from sin, that's all it takes, just turn away from sin, turn away from everything that keeps us from focusing and loving Jesus Christ. When we do that, we're brought into a new kingdom. We're given a new life. We're forgiven. Our sins are taken away. We're set free from slavery. The sentence of death is removed. The debt is paid. All those things happen when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the most famous hymns associated with Christmas is Joy to the World. Interestingly, there's a third verse that sometimes it's sung and sometimes it's not. It's in some songbooks and not others. I forgot to check our new hymnals if it's in there. But the third verse says this: no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The curse means what happened in the fall of humanity with the original sin of Adam and Eve. And as far as that curse went, and death spread through all humanity, as St. Paul says, the blessing of Jesus Christ exceeds that, and the grace of God reverses everything. So that's the joy. That's the reason we celebrate, and we transition from this time of hope and anticipation. Hopefully, during this season of Advent, we've been preparing to make room for Christ in our hearts. And he comes, and he will fill us and undo any evil that we've allowed to happen in our to come into our lives. So in spite of all of the evil around us, you know, we look around. I don't know if it's just me, but I look around the world and I see a lot of evil and I get discouraged. But the Lord says this: in spite of all of that evil, the victory has been won. The war is over. You know, we're in this cleanup phase, just like from 1944 through 1945. The war was essentially over when they invaded. It still took a year of bloody battles before victory was finally achieved. And we're in that phase now. The Lord Jesus Christ, it began at the Annunciation and the birth of Jesus. And when it came to the cross, final victory was obtained. Now we're in that phase of history, the cleanup phase. Lots of battles left before us. But we should never be discouraged because the victory is assured. The outcome is not debatable. We know we win in the end because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And so rejoice when we come back here tomorrow or Monday morning for Christmas Mass. And remember, we rejoice because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, that God fulfilled his promise. Christmas really is the beginning of the end of the war, which the Lord Jesus established. I leave you with one practical suggestion. During this season, it's a really, or actually throughout the year, it's a beautiful tradition in the church to pray the Angelus. And I know maybe some of us or many of us know what that is. I'm just going to say the prayers real quickly. We're not going to do Hail Marys in the middle, but it goes like this. It's really the Annunciation. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then we end with this beautiful prayer that was our opening prayer tonight. If you were listening to the prayer carefully, we pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of the angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through Christ our Lord, amen.